Okay, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10, John chapter 10, we'll be reading verses 1 through 21, but before we get there, there are a number of prayer requests that I need to bring before you. Some of them, or all of them are serious. No prayer request is not. Just want you to be aware of them. Jeff Barr is Nancy Raper's brother. He is in the hospital in San Diego, and they are still running tests to try and figure out why he has fallen, and he's fallen several times, and so they're running some tests on him. Barb Tryon is in Bloomington Hospital, was taken in late Friday night, and they are still running a battery of tests on her. Sherry Kuntz is in Bloomington Hospital as well. She was taken in there Thursday, and they are running some tests on her. And as we speak, Butch, I know, and her sister are in the hospital with her right now. So be praying for her. Mary Beckwith mentioned that her mother, they did find cancer in the lymph nodes, and so they will be going in and doing surgery on Wednesday on her. So be praying for them. Friday, they found Brad King's mother had died, and so she lives in Florida, and so they would appreciate your prayers for her. She lives by herself, and they found her when she didn't make an appearance. So be praying for Brad and his family. They'll be going to Florida sometime soon, not sure when. Do they know yet? Okay, so be praying for Brad. He's the only child, and so he has a lot of stuff to have to take care of, so be praying for them. And then on the back, you will see a whole lot of other people there, but you'll also notice that every week we're going to be highlighting some educators for our week. Last week was Mr. Linton. He's the superintendent of our schools, and I failed to mention that. This week, we're going to be praying for Rhonda Schaefer, who is the principal at the high school, and George Jennings, who is the assistant principal at the high school. And what we ask that you do is, during your prayer time, that you just pray for them during the week. Pray for God's protection and God's wisdom upon them, if you would, please. So, those are a number. There are a number of add-ons, I guess you could say, to the prayer requests back here. You can also notice that Katie Skank's sister passed away. The family of Becky Witham, some of you knew her. Bill Langwell passed away. Then Steve Barnhill, if you go to the Y, you've seen Steve at the front desk. He also passed away this week. So there's a lot of people there with a lot of heartache and a lot of hurt. So if you would say a prayer for those folks, I would appreciate it, and I'm sure they would too. What I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to read John chapter 10, verses 1 through 21 together, and then I'm going to pray, but I, because of the length of that list, I'll not be praying for each person specifically. We'll just have to make a kind of a general prayer. So let's read John chapter 10, verses 1 through 21, if you would please, with me. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow. But they will follow, they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand is not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he is a demon, and he's insane. Why listen to him? And others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Would you join me in prayer, please? And Father, we bring our lives before you this morning. We bring our time before you. And we simply ask that you might help us to use this time to learn of you. We bring these folks that we have mentioned, all these names. Some of them have physical needs. Some of them have spiritual needs. Some of them have needs of they've lost somebody and they need your strength and they need your help. And so I pray that you will meet those needs where they need to be met. You know them better than we do. If they are in need of healing, we pray that if it's within your will that you'll bring healing. If it's in a need where they are hurting and need healing, I pray that you will heal the hurt that's in their heart. And Father, we leave these folks before you and trust you to do what is right. But we also bring ourselves before you this morning and pray and ask that you might speak to us today through your word. Help us to realize how incredibly important we are to you. And that because you are the shepherd and we are the sheep, we have a unique relationship with you. Help us to realize that and to walk out of here different than when we came in. Understanding that we don't have to be afraid. Understanding that we don't have to be uncertain. That we can have an assurance, not just of your love, but of our salvation. I pray that you will speak to our hearts this morning, and wherever that need might be, that you might fill it. And then I pray that as the message is brought, you will help me to step aside, and that we might see Jesus and Jesus only. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. Have you ever been mistaken? Now I know some of you are saying, no, never have. Have you ever been taken something and had a mistaken identity? You ever had a mistaken identity? I want to illustrate that. Back in about 1988, I bought a car. It was a Pontiac 6000. It was a two-tone gray. And I had just bought it, and I went to the mall in Terre Haute, and the Open Door Christian Bookstore was inside, so I parked the car, went inside, and this car had things that my previous Astro van did not. One of them was automatic transmission. The other one was a key fob, you know, where you could hit a button and your doors would unlock. Well, I went in to Open Door, and I came back out and went up to the door and went, and it didn't open. I did it again. And it didn't open. I did it a third time, and it didn't open. The fourth time, I was thinking of things to say. The fifth time, I wanted to say them. The sixth time, I was ready to put my foot through the door. I was angry. I just bought this car. What in the world do you mean that this key fob is no longer working? So this was before the age of cell phones. So I went back inside, called Joe to come get me because my car was stuck at the mall. And so when I came back out, a truck had moved on the other side of a truck. It was a Pontiac 6000, two-tone gray. And all of a sudden I thought, oh no, don't tell me. So then I went over, hit the key fob, the door unlocked, and I thought, man, I almost put my foot in somebody else's door. How am I going to explain that one up? it was a case of mistaken identity, so I got in the car, and Jo came down. I had to wait for her to get there because I didn't have a cell phone to call her back, and I felt like about yo-hi. But it's a case of mistaken identity. Two cars looked almost exactly alike. And I'm sure that somewhere along the line, you have mistaken a person for somebody else, or you have done something stupid like I did and thought, man, how in the world could I have done that? You see, taking a mistaken identity sometimes is easy to do. But it's also easy sometimes to feel like with God, we're just a number. We're just one of the many. One of the things that I want us to understand this morning is that we have a unique relationship with the Father. We have a unique relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. And as we study John chapter 10, I want more than anything else for you to walk out of here this morning saying, I have a special relationship with the good shepherd. I have a special relationship with the one who loves me and knows me and comforts me and protects me more than anybody else on this planet. So, let's get started on John chapter 10. And first of all, let's take a look at the lessons from history. Now, if you have your Bible, please keep it open there. Verse 1 starts it out for us. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold. Now, one of the important things to do is we need to go back and know some of the background. Now, I don't know about you, but my knowledge of sheep is about that much. When you are raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, there's not a whole lot of reason where you're going to see a lot of sheep. And so, or a whole lot of time for you to see a lot of sheep. So my knowledge of sheep is going to the county fair, where you see the best of the best. But you also notice that they are kind of stuck in a little gate, and they're taken care of. They're brushed and cleaned, and hair dryers make their hair, their wool look poofy, and that's not a real picture of what a sheep is. So I went to an expert. Philip Keller wrote a book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And he also wrote another book called A Shepherd Looks at the Good Shepherd and the Sheep. And he is a former pastor. He was a shepherd, a sheep herder. He's now with Jesus. And so this book is about that thick. And I went to that one section and I started reading. And what I'm about to share with you does not come from my knowledge. It comes from him. Now, when you look at this word, you see the word sheepfold. It's a strange word to some of us. But there were actually two meanings in biblical days to what a sheepfold was. Number one, it was an enclosure. Now, by enclosure, we're talking about not a barn, not a stable, not something with a roof over the head. It basically was a containment of maybe stones, maybe brush, and it was full on three sides, and on the fourth side, there was an opening. Now, at night, the shepherd would take the sheep into that enclosure, and then at times he himself would place himself across the door so that if anybody was to get inside, they would have to go through him. Now, the purpose of this enclosure was to protect them from the elements. Even though there was no top, they could still get down below the enclosure and be safe. It also helped keep them safe from predators. Now, one of the things that a shepherd used to do is when he put the sheep in at night, he would go through and he would talk with them, he would sing to them, he would comfort them and help them as best he could so that they would settle down and feel at ease. But there was a second meaning for this word of sheepfold, and that was used of managing sheep. And so Jesus even mentions this a little bit later on in this story. He talks about how a hired hand, because he's not, they're not his sheep, he'll run. When the wolf comes, he says, forget this. And you can just picture him hightailing out of there. And then the wolf has his way with the sheep. But a person who is in charge of the sheepfold, the owner of the sheep, the one who's really responsible, will do everything he can to protect the sheep. He will comfort them. He'll do all he can to take them from pasture to pasture, field to field, range to range, so they can find food, so they can find water, but also so he can protect his own land, because they are his possession. And I hope you see the picture that we're getting at now. As one of the sheep, and as Jesus is the good shepherd, we are responsible, or he is responsible for protecting us. He is the one who takes care of us. He is the one who comforts us. He is the one who makes sure, as he says, we'll be across the gate and will protect us from the predators. Now, Philip Keller also says that this passage in John chapter 10 is like a parable. About a series of parables, actually. A parable is told as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And he says that basically what Jesus does here is in his teaching, he gives three parables. And I like to give those three parables to you as we talk about the lessons that we can learn for today. The first lesson is this. If you'd go ahead and put it up there. Anyone who forces a way into the sheepfold other than by the proper doorway or entrance is a robber or a thief. Verses 1 and 2. Jesus says, if they do not enter by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief or a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. My life, your life, is in the sheepfold. If you are a member of God's family, if you are one of his children, you are in the sheepfold. He has placed himself across the gate to protect you. He literally has laid down his life. And sometimes that's what a shepherd would have to do. Remember when David was talking, before Goliath was talking to Saul, and he said, sometimes I had to protect the sheep from a lion and a bear. That was their responsibility, and that is what Jesus' responsibility is to us. He's there to protect us. He's the proper doorway, and anybody else who comes in by another way is a robber or a thief. And so we need to keep that in mind. It's impossible, folks, to isolate ourselves, no matter how hard we try. You know, we can say, I don't want anybody else around me. But you know, we have moms and dads, we have husbands and wives, we have friends, we have brothers and sisters, we have aunts and uncles, we have people from work, people from play. How in the world can we isolate ourselves? We can't. As much sometimes as we wish we could, we can't. And so we need a shepherd who's going to watch over us. We need a shepherd who's going to give us the comfort that we so desperately need and the protection. Now, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to a verse of Scripture. It's actually a long passage, Psalm 139. As I was studying this, and this passage came to me, I really didn't want to include it because it's so long, but then, I don't know, I told the first service, I honestly believe God wanted it in here because somebody in this room needs to hear this. I don't know who it is. But somebody needs to hear Psalm 139. Follow along with me if you would. I'm going to read the first 12 verses. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, Lord, you know it altogether. Isn't that a scary thought? Even before I open my mouth, insert foot, he knows. And then listen to this. You hem me in behind and before. There's your sheepfold. And lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there, your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Here's the important thing to understand. There is nowhere, I'm going to repeat that, there is nowhere you can go, no matter how high, no matter how low, no matter how wide you can go, where God won't be there. He will be there wherever you are. He's going to go with you. He has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And that's what he says here. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I go from your presence? And it doesn't matter where we go. He's going with us. I don't know about you. That means a lot to me. Because he's never going to leave me alone. Now here's the important thing. He won't force his way in. He won't jump the gate. He won't be a gate crasher. He's not going to force his way in. He's going to choose to enter by the proper entrance. That's me saying, Father, here I am. That's you saying, here I am, I'm yours. Come on in. And that's what he wants more than anything else. Now, the thief and the robber, they'll try to come in. They'll promise you a high. They'll promise you a release. They will promise you a fix to your problems. But I think we know that what is offered is anything but that. Jesus himself said, the thief comes to kill and destroy, but I have come to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. John 10:10. So the first thing we need to understand is that anyone who forces their way into the sheepfold is probably a robber or a thief. Number two, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. Verses 3 and 4. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The relationship that you and I have with God, with the Father, is deepened by knowing his voice. When I, back in 1979, I had a chance to go to the Holy Land, and I saw this illustrated, this whole principle of hearing the voice of God. Or hearing the voice of the shepherd. We were driving through the countryside in Jerusalem, and suddenly the guide told the bus driver, stop. And so he slammed on the brakes, and he said, do you see that field over there? And of course we could. It was littered with sheep. But he said, do you see that hole there? And it was a kind of a cave. And he said, I'll tell you what they do at night. They will take their sheep, the shepherds will take their sheep, and there might be three or four different flocks. They will take them into that cave, and they will let them mingle. Now, it gives the shepherds a chance to talk and not be by themselves. It also gives them a chance to rest while, you know, they take their turns. But it's in the morning that's really interesting. Now, how in the world do you think you're going to get thousands, hundreds and thousands of sheep out of a cave to the right place? And the guy told us how. He said, the shepherds will split up. One will go here, one will go there, one will go here, one will go there, and then they will begin calling their sheep. And he said, it is amazing. Because the sheep will go where they hear the voice of their shepherd. And all of a sudden, this whole scripture kind of opened up to me as I thought, that's the whole thing. I have to be able to hear the shepherd's voice. I have to be in the Word. I have to be in the Bible. I have to be praying to hear the shepherd's voice. If I am deaf to that, then how am I going to know what direction to go? If I sit there and say, I don't want to hear what you have to say, how am I going to hear? But these sheep will go wherever their shepherd was, and if they called them out from over here, all that group of sheep that belonged to that shepherd came this direction. There's never a mix because they understood the shepherd's voice. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He says the sheep know the shepherd and they know their voice. And a person in relationship with Jesus hears the shepherd's voice and does what he's supposed to do. Now I want to give you something else just to think about. Verses 27 through 29, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. There is a certain assurance that comes from knowing you are one of the sheep. When you know that you have heard the shepherd's voice and he has called you and you have followed. There's a third lesson we can learn. There is only one door to the sheepfold. Verses 7 through 14, I'm not going to read that again. But as I read it, I hope that you picked up how many times it said, I am the door. I am the door. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And a lot of people will say, well, that sounds awful exclusive. Well, yeah, it is. Jesus is pretty exclusive because he is simply saying there's only one door. Only one door. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. In this passage here, he says there is only one door. I know one of the things we're often told is, well, you know, I think there's many ways to God. That's man-made. Because God's very clear that there's only one way. And that is through Jesus Christ. No other way. And I know that that sounds exclusive, and I know that ticks some people off because they don't like to hear that. But, oh well. Because the Scripture says, this is the way it is. You see, there will always be false Christs. There will always be false prophets. There will always be false teachers. There will always be those who look good, smell good, talk good, or talk well, excuse me. That was bad grammar. They look, anyway, you know what I mean. There will always be those, and they will have the smoothest talk. They'll say the nicest things. But a lot of what they say is from a pit of hell and smells like smoke. Jesus is pretty clear that there's only one door, and that is him. And so if we want to get to the Father, we go through the Son. Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, that if we preach any other gospel other than one that's delivered, we are to be accursed. And it's such a strong condemnation, he repeats it. And here's what you look for. You look for someone who teaches. If anybody does not teach this, then they are a false teacher. Jesus is the only begotten, virgin-born Son of God. Lived a sinless life. Died on a cross for your sins and mine. Was buried in a tomb. Rose again. Ascended into heaven. And it's coming back. And if they don't teach that, they're a false teacher. They're a false group. Now you say, can I prove that? Yeah, I have this whole book. I can prove it. There are a lot of false Christ, a lot of false teachers. There's only one way. and that's through Jesus Christ. So let me leave you with two thoughts. Number one, verse 16, he says, I have other sheep, not of this fold. That's referring really to the Gentiles, because up until Acts chapter 10, they were not part of the gospel. When Peter presented the gospel to them, they responded, now we have both Jew and Gentile. But up until this point, it was just the Jews. But here's the thing that I really, really hope that you understand. It is absolutely, absolutely essential. Can I say that again? It's absolutely essential that you understand how incredibly important you are to the Father. If you forget everything else I say this morning, please don't forget that. It's absolutely essential that you understand how incredibly important you are to the Father. You are not an afterthought. You're not an appendage. You're not a statistic. You're not one of the many. You are you. And He has created you, and you are His sheep. He is the shepherd, and you are important to Him. Don't leave this morning without understanding that. Please. That's the most important thing I can tell you this morning. And if I had started with that, we could have said amen and left. You'd have said, why not? Don't forget how incredibly important you are to God. He is your shepherd. You are His sheep. He watches over you. He protects you. He feeds you. He loves you. And I don't have anything more to say than that. And Father, we leave this in Your hands. Help us to remember and to realize and then remember how important we are to You. That You took upon, You gave the gift of Your Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son. Because we were that important to You. You are our shepherd. We are Your sheep. Help us not to forget that. To walk out of here today knowing that we are in Your hands. And we need to see ourselves more than just a lost sheep, but someone who is incredibly, incredibly loved and matters even when everything else around us crumbles. Even when nobody else cares. We matter to You. And that is worth everything. And so I pray that every person in this room today will leave knowing how important they are to You. If they have never come to know Jesus, the shepherd, I pray that today they'll begin investigating that. And that if they've come to the realization that I need Jesus, that they will respond to that. And help us, we who are already in the sheepfold, to remember that we are loved and that we are in Your hand and that it's eternal. Speak to our hearts this morning and help us to hear the shepherd's voice. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing, I Surrender All. If you have a decision to make, we invite you to come.